Welcome to Business of Design. Business of Design is the world's best business training for interior design professionals like you. The Business of Design podcast offers immediate, actionable strategies and a glimpse into some of the many field-tested, proven systems you can implement to transform your business and your life. After the show, head to businessofdesign.com and get started with the BOD 15-step project management strategy and 6 foundational programs. Together, they deliver the systems, procedures, and strategies you need to run a successful, highly profitable design business. There's no theory here. The complete BOD business model is yours through Business of Design membership. Business of Design. There's only one. And now, your BOD Advocate-in-Chief, Kimberly Selden.
Well, hello, you fabulous interior design professional. Welcome to Business of Design. I'm so glad you're here. And you're going to be glad you're here, too, because we have not one, not two, but 3 fabulous guests today. Holly Applequist, she is from Regina, and she has a team of 4 in total, but 2 of her team members are going to join her on the episode, and they're going to talk about life before systems versus life with systems. They're going to be talking specifically about how they as a team work together and manage projects. It's different than how I do it, but it's really interesting. They're going to talk about the joy of autonomy when you are working for someone and you have the authority to make decisions. And then what's the downside of that? The downside of that is you got to take responsibility and you've got to take ownership. And I think you're going to enjoy this conversation as much as I did. You are definitely in the right place. Quick announcements from Cheryl Horn, and we'll jump right into the episode.
Thanks, Kimberly. Well, tomorrow, April 24th at 1 p.m. EST is our next BOD Live. And we're going to be talking about the BOD 15 and just open coaching. We want to answer your questions. Our monthly BOD Live meetings are included with your membership. This is your opportunity to ask us questions. We want to make sure that you are making the most of your membership. And this is your chance to get face to face, not only with us, but with fellow members, other design professionals around the world who are implementing the same systems that you are. So it's not too late. Mark your calendar to join us tomorrow. Become a member so you can join us tomorrow, or catch up on the recording if you're not able to do so. So again, tomorrow, April 24th, 1 p.m. EST, just head to your member dashboard and click through to join us. Save the date. Coming up in October, we are celebrating 20 years of Business of Design. And at that same time, I'm very honored to have been part of 17 of those years. I've been with Business of Design a long time, and I'm so excited to get to meet so many of our members face to face. We do have a bit of an RSVP online. We just want to know who's joining us. So I'm so excited to see some of those names, members that I have been talking to via email or on the phone for years now, which is pretty exciting. So again, save the date, October 26th. It's the Saturday of High Point. Full day planned, 3 seminars in partnership with Daniel House Club in 3 different showrooms. And at 3 o'clock, you can join us for a keynote talk with Kimberly. She's going to be giving you 20 solid pieces of business advice that she's learned over the last 20 years that you can take away and implement. And then, of course, that's going to be followed by a celebration. So you'll need to register for High Point directly in order to attend, but we just want to know who's coming. So if you've already booked the date, you know that you're going to be in High Point in October, let us know. We want to know who's going to be there. So all of this and more, head to businessofdesign.com. Thanks so much.
Well, good morning. Hello, hello, hello. I have Holly, Marin, and Taylan. Is that right?
Holly, Marnie, and Taylan.
Yep. Holly, Marnie, and Taylan. And you That's are right. all working together under Holly. And what's the name of your company?
Applequist Interior Design in Regina, Saskatchewan, in Western Canada.
I love it. And I was really excited to record this episode because normally we record with just one person, but today we have not one, not two, but 3. And 3 fabulous women from 3 different generations, too, I will say. Yeah?
Yeah. We've got an interesting staff dynamic. I'm in my 50s. Marnie's in her 30s. Taylan's in her 20s. And we have an admin staff who, unfortunately, Heather is sick today, so she couldn't be with us, but she's in her 40s. So we have, like, every decade represented on our staff. And it actually is wonderful because it brings something new to the table. every day, we all bring that unique perspective.
Not only that, but you're probably a killer pop culture trivia team.
Like, probably. You know, we haven't tried that yet.
We'll be doing it soon.
We are. Yeah, we do team building fun stuff every 3 months as part of our, you know, happiness kind of focus. And we each get to pick one thing. And one of the things we're going to do is a trivia day. So it's going to be fun.
Ooh, all right. All right. So we are going to talk about the beauty of a team-based approach to design and how it works technically or in the real world. So Holly, why don't you kick things off and talk about, you know, how you started and how you began to acquire your team and how it finally all the pieces came together.
Well, I was just like you, Kimberly. I worked at home. I have kids. Most of the time I couldn't even get my kids in the car because I had too many samples in the back. did that for years. And Marnie and I worked together at a lighting store here in Regina. And every time I left that lighting store, I thought, oh, if only I could find a Marnie. I just need a Marnie. And so Marnie approached me quite well. When was it? 2018, I guess.
Yeah.
And she was looking for a different opportunity. And because we had worked together so well, and I had posted a job, she was interested. So I just hired her on the spot and I was scared shitless. To be honest.
Like, how are you going to pay her? Like, how are you going to, is that
how
it?
Am I going to pay her? I didn't have an office. I was still home-based. What am I going to do? But every bone in my body said, this is the way forward.
Right.
And Marnie is going to, you know, help me not feel so alone and so overwhelmed and so overworked. And she has done all of that and more, as well as have you helped me with all of that.
And so, how did we meet up? Like, we haven't met in person yet, right?
So that's right. Well, we have met in person. You probably just don't remember us small people, but we understand. You meet a lot of people in your day. We went to the Interior Design Show in Toronto in 2019 or 20. And I heard you for the very first time then. Every single word that you said that I just resonated with so dramatically. We bought all three of your books that very day. Marnie and I just decided, okay, after your session, we went straight back to our Airbnb with a couple of bottles of wine, and we just completely transformed our entire business and started into the systems and the planning and the tracking and all of that. And it has been nothing short of unbelievable, the transformation.
I'm so excited to hear that. And Marnie, did you physically see the difference between working with Holly pre-systems and post-systems? And how would you describe what happened to your boss lady?
Yes, absolutely. So as Holly said, when I first joined on, she probably felt, oh, relief, Marnie can help me. Everything's going to be okay. And everything was really good for a long period of time. And then we were both in that same boat where we're both kind of looking, okay, who else can help us now? Looking for a third person, but again, also scared, can we afford them, and et cetera. So I was very familiar with kind of the, you know, lack of processes. And so when I was at the Interior Design Show with Holly, same with me, everything you said was like you've been in the room here with us for the past 4 years watching us and answering all of our questions.
Yeah.
And it was like light bulb moment. And it's just as Holly said, it's been absolutely life-changing for the business and for our personal lives, because of course those kind of reflect one another when you don't have balance in one.
Yeah. It's really allowed us to move forward with confidence, knowing the direction we're headed, how we're going to get there, what we need. And that's how Talen came along. Talen joined our team just in January. And it's because we could identify that, okay, we've got too much work. We need help. We wouldn't have even known that before, because we had no way of tracking or knowing any or forecasting projects or even having goals in terms of the number of projects we would want to take on in a year, how many hours each project might take to complete. Like now we can actually look at that and say, okay, with three full-time equivalent design employees, knowing how many large, medium, and small projects we want to take on, you know, what does that look like then? And how many can we comfortably commit to without feeling stressed and overwhelmed with taking holidays when we want to? Up in Canada, we have minimum requirements in Saskatchewan for 3 weeks mandatory holidays. So everybody takes 3 weeks. I am now taking 6 or 7 weeks holidays.
Right.
And I can do that because I don't need to be here anymore.
Yeah, I don't need to. Great. I don't need to rubber stamp every single thing that happens in my office. It's so true.
Yeah.
So would you, and for Taylan, how lucky to start with a firm that has process?
Yeah, it was super easy to transition from my previous job into this job because there wasn't a lot of, there was lots of guidelines and processes to know exactly how the systems were to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super easy. I loved it.
That's amazing. Yeah. For now on, forever, when you need to hire, it's so easy because the steps on how to perform every task are written down. And I don't remember what course it was where we talk about dividing your, analyzing past projects, considering who's small, medium, and large. Do you remember the name of that course?
It's not salary, revenue,
profit, and wealth. Is that the course?
Profit and wealth. I think.
Could be. Cheryl will know. She knows. She's so hilarious. She's like, you create them. How do you not know them? And I'm like, I don't know. But
I don't know what you call them, but I just
Was a critical moment for me. What we're talking about, for those of you listening or watching, is we're talking about when you can go back to past projects and analyze how much money they spent on design fees, how much money they spent on furniture, how much money they spent on services, and then categorize those past projects into small, medium, and large, and begin to look for those projects that are the most profitable, right? And then you can begin to improve your efficiencies and skills so you can grow projects from the small category to the large category or the medium category to the large category. And over time, you can project your needs in terms of your financial goals. Like it's just an incredible, incredible resource. That course is one of my absolute favorites, salary, profit, revenue, and wealth. It's really worth taking. Sorry, Holly's trying to show me something. What are you trying to show me? What is the profitability reports, financial analysis 2024? I love it. You're ready. That's so good. Right?
It's so exciting.
If we're not looking back, we can't go forward, right? We can't go forward in a meaningful way. Okay. So how do you translate all of this then to your team? How does your team function on a daily basis?
Well,
we're like, function? Do we function? You do function.
We each take on our own projects. So we each have our own leads.
Okay.
Where, you know, if I'm the lead on a project, I'm going to take that client from start to finish.
Oh.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. That's curious.
And then sometimes we get a little bit stuck where we might need some help with a point in the process. You know, whether it gets... I'm sure people can relate after COVID, like pricing has gone all over the place.
Ugh.
We've had to redesign, reprice to try to find that sweet spot between where the budget meets a decent outcome and there's value there for the client and
right.
all those kinds of things. So sometimes we'll get stuck in that process and we need to think creatively out of the box and we'll do some brainstorming together. Other times, like literally, I asked Taylan yesterday, I took on this small little job that I probably shouldn't have, but it was like for a client that I did a really large house for, and I just love him. And he's building, get this, he's a farmer in Saskatchewan, and he's a pilot. And he has an airplane hangar on his property, and he's building a commercial kitchen inside of this airplane hangar so that he can hire a chef to feed all of his staff during seeding and harvest. It's such a cool project. I couldn't say no to that.
Why would you say no to that? That sounds incredible.
Well, yeah, it was really neat. And I mean, I should have said no to it because it didn't fit into our Gantt chart,
right,
which we use to forecast our projects. But
right.
I was like, I love this guy. He's been a great client and I'm not going to say no to him. So I just didn't. And I guess that's another thing. The value of your system means, like, and your processes means that if you do want to pick up those little projects in between, you can kind of do that without being terribly overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You might be a little bit pinched, but you're not going to, you can still do things that you want to do and have, you know, those relationships with people where you can say yes, even when you know you shouldn't, you could do it.
No, I'm not sure you should have said no to that. I feel like I still want to be challenged. I still want those projects that are new and exciting and different. And if it's a client I love, I'll figure out how to say yes. And I also found by adding systems, by having the systems, I could do twice the work in half the time. And so I could take 6 weeks off. And nobody, you know, literally nobody noticed. None of my clients know really that I'm away unless I decide to tell them.
My biggest problem is FOMO. I have fear of missing out. Huge.
Yeah.
I hear Marnie and Taylan and they're talking about their projects and, you know, we do all of the Hospitals of Regina Foundation lottery homes every year. Fun. And there's three of them a year. And so, you know, I hear them talking about, oh, let's do this, let's do that. And they're working away on something. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I need to know. But like, literally, I don't need to know.
Right.
And then I walk into the house and I meet the chairman of the foundation and I say, oh, it's beautiful. And he says, oh, great job. And I say, yes, my team did a great job.
Yeah.
But like, I literally did not know what it looked like when I walked in the door. And for that to happen so seamlessly is such a relief and a weight off of my shoulders that I used to carry around like a ball and chain.
Yeah.
And now we have the team. We work together so well. We all really like each other. And
Marnie, Marnie, from your perspective, how does it feel to take ownership of a project? Because that's one of the things when I used to have to be in charge of everything and I had to rubber stamp everything and every decision had to come through me because it was my name on the door. People felt that they didn't have autonomy. The people who work for me felt that they didn't have the autonomy to make decisions. What's the plus side of that autonomy and being able to run your own projects? And is there a downside to it?
I think at the start, there was definitely, you know, with lack of processes, I was terrified. And I was terrified of maybe making a mistake and what
saying
would happen.
Saying the wrong thing.
Right, saying the wrong thing. And something I learned, there's not really, like, of course, there's certain rules in design, but it's not really, is there a yes or no answer? A lot of the times I'd be thinking, like, oh, I wish Holly was here. I wonder what she would say, you know, and be nervous I was making the wrong decision. But I learned that it's once you get to know the client, which you should be doing at those initial meetings, your answer is based upon what's right for them.
Right.
And so as far as, you know, preparing drawings or selecting finish and having specifications, I always thought like I'm probably missing something or what didn't I do? So at the start, it was terrifying. And I was always very nervous anytime my phone rang once construction started, like what is it going to be? And so that was terrifying for me because I'm very much in a way I love processes and systems and I'm kind of a nerd in that way. So without those, it didn't give me the confidence, even though I was doing everything probably 95% correct or thoroughly. And so once we got into having those processes, that's pretty much gone. And the only worry that I have is, you know, maybe in a renovation, what will they find when they open up a wall or something like that? But it's never about, did I do my job or do I have the answers? And all of that is gone.
Isn't that funny? We so often I'll go to an event like High Point or IDS and there'll be a speaker and they'll be talking about confidence and like ways to build your confidence. And none of those techniques worked for me. None of them worked. The only thing that worked for me is having a system. The system is the confidence. I know how to handle this. We do it this way, X, Y, yes. Z. No other way, only this way, and then I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly right. If you don't know how to take your customer from 0 to 100 and all the steps in between, you're not confident.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a coincidence, but in the past 6 months when we're sending out our fee proposals or giving information about how we operate with clients, so many people have said in the last 6 months, oh, I like that you have a process. I like that you have steps. And honestly, I think half the reason they hire us is because they know that we're going to lead them down that path, and it's from start to finish.
Yeah. And look at what Mike said. We had just the most amazing feedback. He said, I can tell that you have honed this process and that you have spent a lot of time developing these steps. And it's what else did he say? This was Marnie's client, but like I just about fell over.
Just it
was
comforting amazing. To them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they knew that they were in good hands, that we were experts, that we understood from their perspective and from our design perspective and could communicate with the contractor, and they were going to be okay as long as they were working with us.
Yeah.
And how wonderful is that? That's exactly how we want every single client to feel.
Exactly. It's so funny. I as you know, I got back from South Africa late last night. And you know, when you're on the plane and you look to the flight attendant, when there's a big bump or it's, you know, shaky or the, you know, put your seatbelts on, you always look at the flight attendant to see if you're going to be okay. And then the flight attendant looks cool and calm and they have a process. And so then I go, okay, it's okay. She's okay. I'm okay. Everything's going to be fine. Our clients do that with us, right? If we're going on to the job site and we're like, oh my God, what's happening? This is insane. Like they're terrified. They're terrified. Mm-hmm. So just knowing that, okay, I know how to handle this. Even if I'm 20 years old and I haven't had to deal with it before, I still have a process for handling it and I'm going to be okay. My knees might be knocking, but I'm going to be okay. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
The process is the confidence. And then the other thing I think that you've said that's really resonated is your fee is your brand.
Yeah.
So like for me, that took a long time to sink in. I was like, oh, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it. And then I think I just got uncomfortable enough to realize, you know what? I do know what I'm talking about and I am worth it. And if you don't want to work with me, that's okay. You're not my client. Go work with someone else. Happy to refer you. No problem. But if you want to work with me, these are the terms. This is how I work. And this is how you're going to be treated and respected and appreciated and all of the wonderful things that we want people to feel.
Yeah. We meet so many design professionals who tell us they want to work with high-end luxury clients or that they do high-end luxury work. And they say, great, what's your fee? And they give me some tragic number after a long explanation. Like first there's a big explanation of why they normally would charge us, but now they're charging that and they sort of charge and they do that. And then they give me the number and I'm like, well, I know you're not working with luxury clients because as a luxury client, I wouldn't hire you. I just wouldn't hire you. So, and I'm going to put you guys on the spot right now. What do you guys charge in Regina? What are your fees?
$175.
Okay.
$150. $125.
Okay.
So
I know someone in Red Deer who charges a lot more.
Do you?
Yeah. Is Red Deer smaller than Regina?
It's about the same size, I would think.
Okay. Yeah. She's definitely in the $275 Alberta category. So there's wiggle room for you.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
$275. Mm. Yeah.
Good for her.
I know.
Yeah.
So at the point you're super busy and the phone's just ringing off the hook and you can't handle more, raise your rate. Just raise your rate a little bit. Just keep that rate going up. The reality is it will continue to attract the client who's looking for the best, the most organized, the most efficient. Like I just went to a Christmas party of clients back in December And it was a house that we just love. And there are 200 people at this party. And they're introducing me to everybody. And they're saying, oh, my God, she's so expensive, but you have to hire her. She's the best. I'm like, Jim, seriously. And he's like, well, they need to know you're expensive. Like, I don't want them to call you. Anyway, we've got 3 leads from that promotion. Wow. 3 amazing projects. Like, I'm gold for 2024 just because he was saying that. So don't be afraid to be expensive. Be afraid to be mediocre. Be afraid to be cheap. Be afraid to be that team that doesn't have process. That's what you should be afraid of.
Agreed. Yeah. And I was listening to another one of your podcasts or one of your videos, I don't know, and you were interviewing a client. And she said something that I thought was super interesting, and that was that she would be willing, she tried to find one designer, and that designer cost $200 an hour, and then she went to another design firm who she would have rather worked with but couldn't get in the door because her project was too small or something, and that woman was charging $250, and to her, she could have cared less if it was $200 or $250. That fee didn't really matter to her.
Yeah.
What mattered to her was getting the help and getting the service.
Yes.
So that really resonated with me thinking, okay, well, my $175 fee, you know, what does it matter if it's $175 or $200?
Right.
It probably doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're going to work with me or you're not.
Yeah. I think about myself, like if I'm going to hire, I mean, make up anything you want, a tennis instructor, and my tennis lesson is $75 an hour or $100 an hour. Do I care? I mean, I'm not saying money doesn't matter. I'm saying that once you're committed to that hour of tennis instruction with a pro, the $100 pro seems like a better idea than the $75 pro. It just does. So I'll probably go more expensive because I don't want to take 1,000 tennis lessons and I want to get better at it quickly. So I might as well go to the person who's confidently thinks they can change my game, right? And that's true for us too. So your fee is your brand. And it is one of those things that if you can't raise it to a level that will attract the clients you want, you'll just never get there. You'll just always be stuck in low-end clients.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's on deck for you guys in terms of next steps? What's the growth for the company look like now?
Well, I guess just continuously improving those processes and systems, honing in on what types of projects we're taking, how many we're taking, and potentially growing the business with more staff. With that comes a whole host of other issues, though, with respect to where do we all work? Right now, we have 4 workstations in our little design studio, so we don't have 5 unless we're going to renovate or do something else. So, you know, but I think it's more of the same. You know, I think we're just in the sweet spot of where we want to be, and the whole business of design and the step-by-step program is what got us there. So, like, Kimberly, I just want to say to you, I wanted to thank you for doing that because back in the, like, I don't know how long ago you did this, but quite a while ago, right? Like 10 years ago or something you started?
Business of Design 2004. It's our 20th anniversary in October.
So in 2004, that was like almost pre HDTV kind of stuff. And you were exposing all of your weakness and all of your failures, basically.
Yeah.
And throwing them out into the world. Like, I can't imagine doing that. I was doing the exact opposite. I was trying to look like I had my everything together.
Yeah.
And knowing inside I was dying 1,000 deaths and couldn't get my kids in the back of the car because I had all the stuff in them. So, you know, the fact that you were able to kind of step back from that and say there must be a better way and I'm not the only one, I think that's brave and so strong and so forward thinking of you.
Wow.
So
thank you.
You have transformed my life like 1,000,000%. There's no way I'd be going on 6 weeks of holidays this year. Like, my husband and I took up sailing. We're now sailors, and we are in a landlocked province in Western Canada, but we're going sailing to Grenada actually in 2 weeks from now, and we'll be there for 2 weeks. And if we really like it, we're going to think about buying a boat and living on a boat potentially.
So you've jumped forward. You're like talking about wealth now. You're talking about like building a business where you can begin to put away money so that someday you can buy the boat.
And I put away money. I put away money, a lot of money, into a GIC, a guaranteed investment certificate here. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's somebody listening right now who is thinking, oh, that's good for her, but it won't work for me. And talk to
that
person.
That's always what I thought.
Yeah, that's right. What are we going to do to convince that person? Like, you got to trust us. It'll work for you too. What are we going to do for that person?
I don't know. I think you have to be open to it, but you also have to get uncomfortable enough with your situation that you just can't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
And you know that something has to change. Because I think that's where I got to. It was either going to be, okay, I kind of always joked, I'm going to go work at Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pour coffee. Because when I'm not there, someone else is pouring the coffee. And I don't have the weight of everything on top of me. Because if I took a holiday, I would come back and everything was still sitting there. Right. There was no one to pour the coffee for me while I was away. Yeah. And so going on holidays was actually more stressful for me than being at work.
Yeah.
And there's a funny story about that, but I digress. So, you know, I think when you get to that point and you know you're either going to throw in the towel and go pour coffee at Tim's or you're maybe going to make some changes to actually grow your business and strategically and like literally own your business, be in control.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful.
That is my story. I was like, I had one foot out the door. I'm like, I can't do it. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I failed and I can't do it. And other people are doing it because you'd go to like interior design show and you go, how are you doing? And every designer you meet would go, amazing. Oh my God, I'm killing it. And you're like, wow, I'm not killing it. I'm just not.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Like, and it just turns out we weren't alone, right? We just weren't alone. Yeah. There's a lot of posing going on. There's a lot of influencer behavior going on, but behind the scenes, it's just not quite what's being projected. So keep your face in your own plate, you know, as they say.
Yeah. And now with our team, the fact that we can, if we're having a hard time, we can pump each other up. We can, you know, I guess just go over times when we haven't done well and we've made the wrong decision and talk about what we could have done, use it as a learning opportunity. Here at our studio, we don't really, it's not about blame or, oh, you did the wrong thing. Oh, you're going to be punished or, you know, it's just about learning and continuous improvement.
Yeah.
And I think when you have that type of attitude and perspective, then people are very open to saying, oh, I made a mistake, and this is what happened to me. Like, just yesterday, I got a call from a contractor, and man, I should know better, but he called me and said, hey, Holly, we need a grout color for that shower tile that was added into the project. And I was like,
oops.
I didn't. So, of course, it's the emergency grout color. And didn't he want a grout last night?
Of course.
And I said, well, I don't have the tile. I can't get the grout. I'm sorry, but it'll be tomorrow morning. So this morning before the podcast, where was I? On site, tiles installed, because I didn't have the tile at my studio even.
Yeah.
The tile had been returned. And because this was an add-on to scope, it wasn't part of the original project. So
But anyway, what's the solution going forward? Whenever I pick a tile, I also pick a grout color the same time I pick the tile.
Yes.
And then I just look at my notes. Oh, grout tile's been picked. I mean, the grout color's been picked. Yeah, how many times has that happened to us before we go, wait a minute, I should probably pick the grout when I pick the tile?
Yeah.
You know, when you place that order. Oh, great to meet you guys. Looking forward to seeing you again one day in person. Very excited for what the future holds, and just nothing but big, big success ahead, I hope, for all of you. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening and supporting the BOD mission to improve the industry one design business at a time. If you're ready to implement an exact business model for running a streamlined, profitable business, field tested by thousands of design professionals around the world, head to businessofdesign.com and get started today. It's time to dramatically improve your business and transform your life.